this from D.L. Hudson. D.L. Hudson is the editor of Crisis Magazine. He puts out an e-letter. This is from the February 4th, 2003 e-letter. He says, "Dear friend, let me warn you up front, you're not going to like this one bit. If a recent study is to be believed, many teens who go to Catholic colleges don't come out so good. A Higher Education Research Institute at UCLA compared results of a survey administered to college freshmen in 1997 with a survey given to these same students as graduating seniors in 2001. The result, students attending Catholic colleges are more likely to increase in support for legalized abortion and same-sex marriages than students attending private four-year colleges. After 4 years at a Catholic college, well, let me preface all this by saying quite simply that the vast majority of Catholic colleges, in my opinion, shouldn't even be calling themselves that. All right, they have a residue of leftover Catholic identity, and they are as secular, or maybe more so, than other places, but they call themselves that. After 4 years at a Catholic college, student support for abortion increased from 46% as a freshman to 60% as a senior. Now, this is a sharper increase than among kids at private colleges, which went from 51 to 62. All right? So the kids came in more pro-life and came out a lot less pro-life. Regarding same-sex marriage, Catholic student support for same-sex marriage. Now, listen to this. This bugs me. 57% of freshmen entering a Catholic college to 73%, including 80% among women. Same-sex marriage. What in heaven's name is going on here? These people have not only lost sight of traditional natural morality, they've lost sense. Students at private schools saw an increase of 55 to 67. You see the point he's making? You could claim that there's something about the college experience, or there's something about going from 18 to 22 or 23 that makes you abandon some of the traditional morality that you were raised with. But what he's doing here is he's saying, hey, look, the figures are worse in these surveyed Catholic colleges than they are in surveyed private colleges. I don't know what kinds of private, and I don't know if they're affiliated with traditional Christian institutions. Catholic college students. Again, the other question I would have is, one, how many of the kids coming in are Catholic? That's the other thing, first of all, okay? I'm assuming they're Catholic. The other question you have to ask is, what kind? You know, sadly, as well as I do, that half of Catholic kids in their teen years probably haven't stepped in a church in years. Catholic college students increasingly agreed with the following statement after 4 years in school. If two people really like each other, it's all right for them to have relations even if they've known each other for only a very short time. Agreement on that one went from a third to over a half. Among men, two-thirds, compared to only half at four-year colleges. Here's another one. The number of students professing to be Roman Catholics at a Catholic college dropped from 73% to 69%. At the same time, the number of students professing no religion rose from 6% to 11%. So what's the deal? No pun intended. What's going on? Well, I think there's a couple things for those of you with teenagers who are looking at Catholic colleges to be aware of. There's an interesting phenomenon in the last several decades in our culture, and Western culture in particular, and that is the phenomenon of you can call yourself something and you don't have to adhere to it, right? That's particularly true in traditional religions, but it's true in anything, all right? I reserve the right as a modern person to say what I am regardless of whether what I say I am agrees with what I'm supposed to believe. So therefore, you have an enormous amount of folks calling themselves Christian or Catholic that are no such thing. They reserve the right to simply pick and choose or to do whatever they wish with whatever the belief they wish, whenever they wish. That's a relatively new phenomenon. I think it's unique to our incredibly, radically individualistic times. I like the honesty of Lessert of earlier times, when if you weren't something, you said you weren't something. And if you were something, then you recognized a certain duty and obligation to adhere to that something. Now, hey, piece of cake, man. I call myself Catholic. Shoo. It's all right, don't matter. I call myself that. I was baptized. I had communion. Now I am what I am. Who are you to tell me I'm not? Who's the church to tell me I have to adhere to these ideas? Nobody's going to tell me what to do. So you got that phenomenon. You got another phenomenon. Institutionally, this has become a problem. This is a huge problem. These schools calling themselves Catholic, in many respects, have abandoned all but remnants of their Catholic identity. And in some cases, it's the students at the schools who are saying, hey, you want to begin a class with a prayer? Go ahead. You want to have a crucifix in a classroom? Good. Bring them back. Students have more sense than the big people. The question for me in this loss of faith and this loss of belief in traditional morals as taught by the church for 2,000 years, I would want to know, during that same four-year period, if you didn't go to college, what would happen to your beliefs? Now, according to this, you go to college, you're gonna lose a lot of your traditional morality. You're gonna lose your Catholic sense. However, what happens when you're 18 and then you get surveyed again when you're 23 and you don't go to college or you drop out of college? I would want to know if the stats are the same or worse or better. There's something that tells me that there's a particular danger in going to a place that calls itself something but teaches either counter or counterfeit ideas to what it calls itself. C.S. Lewis had a great analogy for this. He said, if you liken Christianity to a disease that you want to catch, you want to get the full brunt of this disease, you want to get it as bad as you can get it, you want to be completely infected with Christianity, the worst thing to do would be to get a light form of it, to get a vaccination, if you will, with bits and pieces of it, with counterfeit resemblance of it. Because what happens is, when you get the vaccination, the religion light, the Catholic light, the Christian light, you don't get the real thing. It keeps you from getting the real thing. Our pastor made an interesting observation. He says, you know, one of the real dangers about schools, high school, parochial school, college, that call themselves Catholic or call themselves Christian, is that they have some residual authority left. The kids are going in here thinking, well, hey, these people purport to speak for the faith. And they're presenting their case that, in fact, the faith and the morals are wrong, and they need to be modernized, or they need to be nuanced, or they need to be discussed, or they need to be more progressive in their assessment. Really, we can't be quite so black and white. Same-sex marriages are not always bad. You know, they can be good. They can be good. It's kind of hard to biologically have kids, but hey, you know, we can get around that. So, when a kid goes to a school that calls itself something, in this case, Catholic, and it presents a counterfeit form, or a light form, or a mild form, or a somewhat twisted form of the real thing, the kids develop a sense of justification for thinking the way they think. These are not atheists, well, maybe they are, but these are not people blatantly, in most cases, against the faith. These are people who represent the faith, but in a more modern form. That's it, a more modern form, a more thoughtful way. I'm not against thoughtfulness. I'm not against analyzing. I'm not against pondering why we think the way we think. What I am against is taking the traditional morality, like life begins at conception, 2,000-year-old teaching, and then telling kids in a college setting, well, you know, there's other factors to be considered here. The open-minded person recognizes that not all these cases are necessarily wrong to kill a child in the womb. You know, we have to recognize the complexities of human existence. And a 19-year-old kid sitting in there with some 56-year-old prof with PhD, LLD, FSI, EIEIO after their name. The kid's going, hey, that's right. This guy's awful bright. This guy's a lot brighter than my mom. This guy's a lot more thoughtful than the priest I had that gave those homilies that I didn't listen to. One other thing I want to say, for those of you who are having children consider Catholic colleges, you know a couple of things. One, don't just assume because it's got the name, it's got the game. Secondly, you might want to interview some people at the college or university. Thirdly, probably the most important thing, you start on your own independent track of teaching and learning the faith to your children. You learn it yourself. You get an apologetics course. You be able to offer the wonderful rationale and depth behind these ideas so that they aren't just knocked out of the water when they get to college. Because I will tell you, I was in college for who knows how many years. And even then, I remember thinking, I can't believe some of these people think this. This is illogical what they're trying to tell me. I don't have to dispute it with different information. I just have to dispute it because it's internally incoherent. It doesn't make sense when it's gauged against itself. I remember doing that when I was 25. Be careful what you get your kid into. Learn what you are supposed to learn so you can engage your kid in intelligent conversations. And I will tell you, many of these arguments that are used to water down the faith and ultimately to destroy it are flaky and weak and cliché-y.